Vantage.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
Governor Romney's aides today on the television said that Governor Romney's, after he wins the primary, will be like an Etch-a-Sketch. Well, that should be comforting to all you who are voting in this primary, that whoever you're going to vote for is going to be a completely new candidate.
And so here's Governor Romney's staff. I mean, they don't even have the decency to wait till they get the nomination to explain to us how they'll sell us out. And I think having an Etch-a-Sketch as your campaign model raises every doubt about where we're going.
That's Mitt Romney advisor Eric Fernstrom suggesting Mitt Romney's campaign would reset after the primaries, kind of like an Etch-a-Sketch, followed by Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich, who were quick to weigh in on the latest gaffe from the frontrunner's campaign. The GOP race is where we start this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. We'll be talking about that in Afghanistan, the new GOP budget proposal, prices of gasoline. Let's get at it. On MSNBC, Tamron Hall talked to political analysts A.B. Stoddard and Jimmy Williams about the Etch-a-Sketch comment, which quickly overshadowed Romney's win in the Illinois primary.
How does one explain the Etch-a-Sketch, which I've been saying Etch-a-Sketch? I did not have one, but I know what it is and how it's played. You draw on it, you erase it, and then, ta-da, you can go on to something else. How does the Romney campaign even explain that it's overshadowing what happened in Illinois?
That's a bit of a tough one because it's the Etch-a-Sketch literally erases everything you wrote. You get a blank screen. They went too far, Eric Fernstrom did, with those comments. And this is really unfortunate for the Romney camp because they have this pattern where every time after he has a big win, something terrible comes out of his mouth or the mouth of one of his advisors the very next day, and it does overshadow the victory. It is clear that Mitt Romney is going to have to run back to the middle very quickly in the general election campaign to win back the women who were so offended by the debate over birth control pills and free prenatal testing and everything else that's taken place during the Republican primary campaign. And that's no secret. But to talk about it now is a mistake because Mitt Romney, although he's likely the nominee, really doesn't want, as he pivots to a general election message, to offend any of those remaining conservatives who have resisted him, who he still needs to come on board.
Yeah, but AB, I get it. That's how the game is played. You run to the middle or move close to the middle here on certain things. But the reality is Mitt Romney is saying he wants to get rid of Planned Parenthood. You say it's no secret, but it sure seems that it's a secret to that candidate, and at least how he's handling himself in an attempt to woo the more conservative members of his own party in hopes of finishing off Rick Santorum.
Well, you know, he has said a lot of things on immigration, particularly, which have very much upset former Governor Jeb Bush, who is, you know, who's endorsing him today. He has said some things that the party is concerned is going to damage him in the general election. And I am sure he has great plans to try to backtrack on those comments. Tamron, I'm not privy to how he will how he will do so.
Yeah.
But for now, it is true that he has had to go far out on the right to assuage conservatives who don't trust him and still resist him, and that path back is going to be thorny for him.
Yeah, so, and that is the point, Jimmy. You have so many within his own party who believe Mitt Romney's a phony, and you've got a top advisor saying to AB's point what may have been said behind the scenes. He said it on national TV that the guy's policies are Etch-a-Sketch. You just erase and put something else on the screen. How does he explain that?
Well, you don't. I mean, and to illustrate the point, yesterday in his win in Illinois, and by the way, he won, but he won with the lowest winning margin in the 100-year history of the Illinois primary. That's not a good sign for a moderate state like Illinois. Listen, if you don't believe me on these kinds of things, you don't believe what AB is saying, you can't erase these things. Go ask John Kerry. Mm. Everything that John Kerry ever did in his entire Senate career was brought back. Remember the flip-flops at the Republican convention? If you think that the Democrats and the Obama campaign are going to let Romney go back to the middle and not remind him of everything that he's done for the last 6 years when he's been running for president, then you don't know politics. And believe me, the Obama campaign will definitely do that.
Up next, more opinion and reaction to this week's Illinois primary when the Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Here's a scary number to keep in mind if you're just getting your tax receipts together. $1 billion. No, it's not the amount that Warren Buffett's secretary, let alone Buffett personally, paid the IRS in her lifetime. It's about how much taxpayers wind up forfeiting each year to the government because of mistakes like failing to claim tax credits and deductions, choosing the wrong filing status, and not filing at all. Well, guess what? Recent changes in the tax law won't make things any easier this year. Gone is the credit for hybrid cars. The Energy Savings Home Improvement Credit has been reduced. And, oh, if you sold any stocks and securities in 2011 held in taxable accounts, as opposed to, say, 401ks, look for a mandatory statement from your broker reporting your cost basis. With the April 17th filing deadline near, those worried about becoming a member of the $1 billion club should consult a professional like those at H&R Block, which offers in-person services at its retail offices nationwide, as well as face-to-face online preparation through Block Live.
Grandpa!
Hey, there he is.
What appearance.
Sit down on the porch.
I love staying here. How long have you lived here?
A long time. You know, your mother grew up here.
I'm going to have a house like this when I grow up.
I hope so, buddy. I hope so.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Visit houselogic.com/homeownership to learn more.
The war had been gone for 2 years, and I got the calling. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush us aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org. The wounds are invisible. The stories are real.
This is a special announcement from Lumber Liquidators.
We must reduce inventory by end of month, so we're making deals on every floor in every store. If a floor is in stock, it's on sale at our end-of-quarter clearance. Choose from over 60 laminates starting at only 39 cents a square foot. Over 255 pre-finished hardwood floors from just $1.49 a square foot. But you must take possession by March 31st. Plus, take advantage of special extended financing. Get ready. Sale starts this Thursday. Visit LumberLiquidators.com for your local store.
Talk Radio in Review. Doug Stephan here with a couple of talk hosts named Brad Shepard and Bo Sullivan. They talked to political analyst Tony Signoli, who thinks that after Mitt Romney's win in Illinois, time is running out for Rick Santorum.
Are we all agreed that there are not all that many opportunities remaining for Mr. Santorum to shake this race up the way he has been doing?
Exactly well said, especially given that as they go into Louisiana, a southern state, without a doubt, you know, Santorum has really lost a lot of steam. He's making the classic complaint of, gosh, the only way reason that Romney's really pulling this off is because of the superior dollars, the money he's got. But the bottom line is, that's part of the game.
Yeah.
He's able to raise it or go in his pocket for it. But that's the other piece of this, too. He's not just going in his pocket. People are contributing in a big way.
Yeah, that's, stop whining. I hate all these people who are complaining about money. It's like, hey, he's playing by the same rules you are, yeah. So go do it.
You know, that's well said, and I appreciate something else that Brad, you just said, too. A lot of people don't realize that they head into these next few states. In several of them, Santorum's campaign committee was unable to get him on the ballot in some of the congressional districts in some of those states. In fact, there's four congressional districts in Louisiana where he's not even on the ballot. That puts him on a huge disadvantage. And again, the point being to take from what both of you just been saying is that, you know, stop the line, guys. You had the same rules in front of you as Romney did.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what Santorum's campaign crew is saying is, well, geez, you know, back in December, last year in October, we didn't have the resources of the staff. You were running for president of the United States. Come on.
I know. Yeah. I know. If you're going to sit here and complain about money in a campaign, what does that say you're going to do when you're sitting in the Oval Office?
Not good.
Yeah.
Some of the exit polling, Tony, seems to reveal that he had, Romney continues to sell very well with the self-described moderates, and I think that's probably very, very healthy for him in the long run on the national stage when we get to that point. And a lot of folks, in at least in Illinois, seem to be focusing on electability. Those are that's where Mitt scores high. And then there are those who are the strict, quite honestly, moralists and super uber conservatives are the ones that seem to continue to flock to Rick Santorum. But it seems to position Romney quite well again on the national stage. Yeah. Tony, what say you?
Yeah, very much so. You know, I mean, Illinois is one of those microcosms of the entire nation. The moderate base of Romney will help him later on as well. But even, you know, the other classic too. I mean, this is Illinois. Where's Peoria in Illinois? What do we always hear? There's a play in Peoria.
There's a play in Peoria.
And Romney did. Romney played in Peoria by about 60-40, you know? And in the exit polling, even those folks that said that they voted for Santorum or that they were more conservative and didn't think that Romney was conservative enough, 3 out of 4 of those folks said that they believed that Romney was the guy who had the best opportunity to beat Barack Obama.
Host Mike Moss and Bruce Allen talked to Meet the Press's David Gregory about the lack of enthusiasm for Mitt Romney in some corners.
When you look at the low voter turnout, does that tell us something?
Well, it tells you that what we've seen again in Illinois, and we've seen it now in primary after primary, is that the level of enthusiasm is not as high as you would expect in a year when Republicans seem like they want to beat President Obama for the White House very badly. You know, people are voting, and as they did in Illinois, for Mitt Romney, but with reservations. They think he's clearly the most electable demographically. It was the kind of state that better suits him as opposed to the more conservative Rick Santorum. So Romney's doing the things that you'd expect a nominee to do. He's winning where he has to win. He's winning in big swing states in the fall. He's winning in the industrial Midwest. He's winning when the economy is the major message. But what's he not doing? He's not piercing the demographic strength that Rick Santorum has, which is the base of the party.
So despite the convincing win for Romney, does that mean it wasn't convincing enough or knockout blow enough to get Romney to get Santorum out of the race?
The problem is the knockout blow is 1,144 delegates, and there is still a question about whether Romney can get to that number or whether Santorum has the ability to prevent him from getting there. I don't think there's much faith that Santorum's going to get the number and can get the nomination on his own, but there is some feeling that he could ultimately deny Romney. So you look for Romney to do some things that he hasn't done, which is, can he put together solid wins one after the other? Mm-hmm. You know, now he faces Louisiana. That sounds like more of an away game for Romney. Can he close the door in Wisconsin? But as long as you've got Santorum out there who can build up momentum along the way, it prevents Romney from shutting the door. And then Pennsylvania, big state, both for Santorum and for Romney.
Now, what about Gingrich and Paul here? Paul clearly seems like he's going to go all the way to the convention, and his campaign doesn't cost as much. What about Newt Gingrich? Is there any sense here that there is a growing chorus for him to reconsider and pull out?
I think the chorus is there. I just don't think that the lead singer is listening. I mean, the question is he running out of money?
Good lie, David.
He apparently does not have enough money to keep this thing going on a day-to-day operation, but he does have super PAC money.
Up next, let's get to Afghanistan and find out what people are saying about that as the Talk Radio Countdown continues.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increase, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Talk radio, talk television, that's the talk. The focus is on lots of great radio programs and stations around the country. We listen to them, we summarize, and you get the pieces. Here's host Mark Amazon with legal analyst Mike Allen about the case against Staff Sergeant Robert Bales.
From a legal standpoint, how tough is it going to be for his team to prove that he was insane when, from everything I understand, one of the first things he did after allegedly massacring 16 civilians was ask for an attorney? Because that would seem to be the conduct of a sane and rational individual.
Yeah, you're right about that. And he also, I just learned today, he burned the bodies, or at least some of them. And, you know, the person I was talking to said, well, doesn't that indicate that he's crazy? Well, you could argue that, but I think a good prosecutor would also argue no.
Covering his tracks.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Army, it's interesting. I spent 10 years, well, over 10 years in the JAG Corps and the Army Reserve. Know a little bit about the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which applies here, which applies to all military crimes. The death penalty was reinstituted for the military in 1984. President Reagan signed the executive order doing that. They adhere to what's called the right-wrong test with respect to an insanity defense. It's the McNaughton test. What the defense would have to show is that he did not know the difference between right and wrong when he committed that act. It's really, really a difficult burden to get over. What I think you'll see them argue, and his lawyers already kind of made some reference to this, is diminished capacity because of post-traumatic stress syndrome. That would not excuse what he did, but what it would be is a mitigating factor in whether the jury, which is actually a panel of officers, would impose the death penalty. And I think that's what his lawyer's looking at. Probably a good defense. I mean, you know, the man did four combat tours over there. But diminished capacity will not excuse his act, but it might keep him off a death row at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
Here's talk host Eric Eggers talking to Scott Bales, president of the Center for National Policy, about how last week's tragic shooting of these Afghan civilians impacts the troops and the operation ongoing in Afghanistan.
You see the story about Army Staff Sergeant Robert Bales allegedly going on the shooting spree and killing 16 Afghanistan civilians. What was your immediate reaction?
My immediate reaction was that the mission's over. The mission as it's configured now, which is to be engaged with the Afghan security units, have our guys working alongside theirs out in villages, and have right now, as we're speaking, American troops are doing what they call pushing the perimeter. Our troops are out there fighting in the most distant places all over Afghanistan, trying to press the Taliban as hard as they can. And I think effectively that mission is over, and is hopelessly compromised because of this. But, you know, one of the first impressions I've had, and it was back to when the Quran burning happened, was give us a break here. We've been fighting with you for 10 years and we don't get the shred of a benefit of the doubt from about a third of the Afghan people. And when there isn't that kind of basic level of trust, it's not going to happen. And I've been to Afghanistan a couple of times, nowhere near the conditions that our troops have been in. But I got to tell you, I mean, I was in Iraq a dozen times and it had a very different feel from Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, that essential level of trust between allies just does not seem to be there at a widespread level. And you can't sustain the kind of counterinsurgency mission. There are two kinds. Counterinsurgency is you're working alongside out in the villages. Counterterrorism, we are hunting the bad guys. It's much more limited. I've always felt that should be where we're going to be. We should be. That's where we are headed now. And by Obama administration policy, it's supposed to be 2 years from now. We're supposed to get to that point. And I think what this shooting does is it should speed up the timetable and get us to a structure where we have about 10 to 25,000 troops in a few locations, secure locations, and we are picking the times and places of where we're going to hit the enemy rather than trying to hold ground.
Up next, Congressman Paul Ryan and the new GOP budget plan. That's here on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. First, she'll crawl. Then take her first baby steps. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. I'll be watching her run down a soccer field. Staying up all night waiting for her to get home from her first date. Wincing when she steps on the gas pedal and then the brakes. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma. Or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Gather your family, friends, and co-workers and join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Breaking news alert for women using the birth control drugs Yasmin, Yaz, and Ocella. Recent medical studies show an increased risk of blood clots and possible gallbladder problems. If you or a loved one has experienced any of the following: blood clot-related injuries, heart attack, stroke, deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolism, or gallbladder removal or surgery, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call now for a free case evaluation, 800-260-5460. If you or a loved one use the birth control drugs Yaz, Yasmin, or Ocella, time is limited to file a claim. Act now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-260-5460. That's 800-260-5460. Protect your legal rights today. Call 800-260-5460.
The attorney responsible for this advertisement is Carrie L. Steigerwald, admitted in California, office address 4350 Executive Drive, Suite 150, San Diego, California 92121. Cases may be referred to or independently handled by separate local counsel for principal responsibility.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Did you know that thousands of industrial toxins, including aluminum, heavy metals like mercury and lead, and even nuclear radiation, have contaminated the air, food, and water supply and are lodged inside your body? These contaminants are poisoning your body from the inside out. No, the government doesn't care, nor will they save you. Do nothing, and these accumulated toxins may slowly lead to degenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, heart disease, or cancer. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Liquid Zeolite is the best natural all-round remedy to safely and effectively
effectively remove all kinds of toxins from your body. Use liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, heavy metal poisoning, memory loss, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe and amazing. Try a liquid zeolite today.
Are you having trouble paying your mortgage? Maybe your mortgage loan is upside down or in foreclosure. Maybe the bank already foreclosed on you. Don't sit around being a victim of bank fraud. Fight back. We have the tools to help you fight back. Here's how. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit. Find the real truth about your loan.
Maybe like me, you'll find your bank loan was paid off already. Maybe, like me, you'll find your bank defrauded you at the closing. And maybe, like me, you will go after them.
Did you know 78% of home loans in the last 10 years violated consumer credit laws? We should not let the banks get away with this fraud. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit today and find the truth about your mortgage loan. That's InspectorAudit.com or call 855-373-4948. That's 1-855-373-4948.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Halfway through this hour of the countdown, Doug Steffen, welcome back in. We're now going to focus on the new GOP budget plan that was announced yesterday. From CNN, Aaron Burnett talks to Congressman Paul Ryan himself about the reactions from both sides to his new plan.
So when the plan came out this morning, my mailbox was really blowing up, right? Everyone on the left and the right was emailing with the headline that they felt captured your plan. On the left, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said, quote, this is a transfer of money to the wealthiest Americans. On the other side of things, Grover Norquist, the tax policeman, said, your tax plan is pro-growth and common sense. Your plan itself does use words like failed leadership and punting to describe the president. And I'm just wondering whether you're trying to take leadership or whether this really is a partisan political document.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a political document. It's a plan for the future because we don't think that the president's led on this issue by virtue of the fact that he's given us four budgets with $4 trillion deficits and literally no proposal to prevent a debt crisis, to get this debt under control.
And let me ask you, when you talk about two tax brackets, the 10% and the 25%, obviously on an absolute basis, assuming that anyone in the current 25% bracket or lower goes to the 10 and everybody else goes to the 25, which I know it wasn't clear in your plan. I'm assuming that's what it is.
Yeah,
but the wealthy would get the bigger cut there on an absolute basis, clearly.
But we're also saying take away their tax shelters. Don't forget, Aaron, there are effective tax rates. And the people in the top two tax brackets are the ones who get almost all of the write-offs, almost all of the tax shelters. So if you're a wealthy person and you park your money in a tax shelter, it's taxed at zero. If we take away the tax shelters and have a broader-based, lower-rate system, then that money's taxed at 25%.
So I'm curious, maybe Grover Norquist didn't read the whole plan. On page 60, you say, and you're talking about the unfairness in the current tax code, you say, quote, the sum of all the special credits, deductions, and loopholes amounts to over $1 trillion a year.
That's right.
That's roughly the same amount the U.S. government collects in individual income taxes each year. So, in other words, these tax preferences end up narrowing the tax base by 50%. So it sounds to me like you're opening to increasing revenue by doubling revenue
through tax
$1 trillion by getting rid of loopholes.
Well, and lowering tax rates. So don't forget the second part of the sentence here, which is broaden the tax base like you just described, but lower the tax rates. Here's the deal. Like I said, most of our businesses, we don't want to charge them with a 45% tax rate when their competitors, like say in Canada, are having a 15% tax rate, or say in China, a 25% tax rate. We want to lower these tax rates to get more economic growth. So we think we can get this at least as much revenue into the federal government through this kind of a system, but we think we'll end up getting more at the end of the day because it will help create jobs. It will give us certainty. It will make it easier for businesses to succeed and hire people, and that brings in more revenues to the government as well.
All right, so I mean, I understand that's always the logic in tax cuts. People say if you cut onerous tax rates, you stimulate economic growth, and that makes up for the lost revenue. You end up broadening the base. That's
but
the
we're
argument.
Saying go beyond that. We're saying do this on a revenue neutral basis as well. So we don't lose revenue. I would say in addition to that, which we're not counting in our numbers, you'll get even more on top of it is what I'm saying.
Okay, so more on top of the trillion.
Yeah, you'll get more than this tax vote. I believe you'll get more than this tax code raises. What we're targeting mm-hmm. is the current amount of revenues that we get through the current tax code today with high rates and a narrow base. Let's get the same amount of revenue with lower rates and a broader base. That's what I'm trying to say.
Here's talk host Carl Wolfson with Congressman Peter DeFazio of Oregon about his concerns regarding the GOP budget plan.
I'm just looking at, this whole premium support euphemism. It's vouchers. Private health insurance can cherry pick the healthiest people, take them from Medicare. Medicare would eventually, as they say, wither on the vine. There's $1 trillion in Medicaid cuts over 10 years, block grants to the states. What do you think Governor Perry in Texas is going to do with that money? You know? And corporations and the rich get $3 trillion in tax cuts, $2 trillion in tax breaks to the wealthiest Americans, $1 trillion in tax breaks to corporations, boosting defense spending. As you say, I guess we'll have the military.
Right.
It ought to be Christmas and the 4th of July and birthday for President Obama all rolled into one if they run against it. And Mitt Romney said yesterday he embraces the plan.
Well, I think it's more like a very sick April Fool's joke on the American people. I mean, we've got real problems in this country we need to address. Among the many things he's slashing is cutting investment in transportation below the levels of funding that will be collected through the gas tax. So he's going to start stealing our gas tax money while our bridges are falling down. I mean, I think maybe it's really just a joke.
Well, you know, Congressman, the thing is that they stand there with a straight face, and I think the bottom line is they're tied to the theology of supply side. It has never worked. They can't prove that it's worked, but somehow they believe it will work.
Well, they had, you know, this stuff doesn't even add up to what he says it adds up to, because they did something called directed scoring, which is, if you read the Congressional Budget Office analysis of his bill, it says these are the outcomes that he says these things will produce.
Mm-hmm.
We do not, we have not analyzed this.
Up next, talk radio and talk television all abuzz the Stand Your Ground shooting in Florida, a big topic emerging. That's next on the Countdown.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Go to sportsauthority.com and get your family geared up head to toe for sports indoors and out. From cleats to running shoes to hiking boots, and from team sports to treadmills to camping gear, sportsauthority.com has 95,000 products from brands like Nike, Under Armour, The North Face, and more. Whatever your family's needs are, not only have we got just the thing, we've got thousands of just the things to choose from. You'll find colors and sizes galore, and almost everything ships for only $2.99. sportsauthority.com. All things sporting goods.
I've got stuff to do. I can't let pain get in the way. But I can turn to Advil for tough pain relief, Advil PM for relief of nighttime pain and sleeplessness, and Thermacare for long-lasting back pain relief. They're my partners in fighting tough pain. So I can walk the dog, I can take the kids to the park, I can do the things I want. Look for Advil, Advil PM, and Thermacare at your neighborhood drugstore or food store. Use these products as directed. With the right relief, I can keep going.
L-A-M-E! You guys watch it on TV, it's lame! So lame!
During the Ultimate Hoops experience at Sears, it's easy to score a great HDTV, and it's fast. Just buy online at sears.com/hoops and pick up in-store the same day. Right now, get a 55-inch 1080p TV for only $588.
Buy online, pick up today, there's really just no easier way, go fast! So fast.
TV regular price, $699.99. Prices may vary in Alaska and Hawaii. Sale ends March 24, 2012.
You heard him.
March is National Nutrition Month, and as such, General Mills is reminding people of the importance of whole grain. The dietary guidelines recommend choosing products with whole grain listed as the first ingredient, but it can be hard to know how to find whole grain in the grocery store. Here's Marilyn Warner, registered dietitian and senior nutrition scientist at the General Mills Bell Institute of Health and Nutrition.
While the front of the food package does provide nutritional cues, shoppers need to look at the ingredient list on the side of the box in order to get the real scoop on how much of each ingredient is actually in the product. You should make sure that the word whole is listed first and is followed by a grain, like oats. An easy place to find whole grain is in the cereal aisle. More than 50 cereals with the white check, including Cheerios, Lucky Charms, and Total, now have more whole grain than any other single ingredient with the same great taste. They also highlight the grams of whole grain per serving on the side of the box.
For more information on the benefits of whole grain, visit wholegrainnation.com.
Let's turn our attention as we continue here on the Talk Radio Review to the Stand Your Ground shooting in Florida. All this stuff seems pretty outrageous when you get right down to it. Here's Martha McCallum talking to Fox's Judge Andrew Napolitano about this unarmed black teenager who was shot and killed by the Hispanic Neighborhood Watch leader who has not yet been arrested.
There are new calls this morning for an arrest after an unarmed teenage boy was gunned down by a neighborhood watchman. George Zimmerman says that he shot 16-year-old Trayvon Martin in self-defense last month and was therefore not charged with any crime. Now, the Florida police say that they may have missed a racial slur that Zimmerman uttered during the 911 call minutes before this shooting.
He's got something in his hands. I don't know what his deal is.
Okay, just let me know if he does anything, okay? Yeah, we got him on the way. Just let me know if this guy does anything else. Which entrance is that he's heading towards?
The back entrance.
Are you following him?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need you to do that.
We do not need you to do that. The words of the dispatcher there. So both the FBI and the U.S. Justice Department are now involved in this case. So many are shocked that there is not enough to hold this man, Zimmerman, in this case. He's still living on his own free will in his apartment at this point.
Very, very dangerous situation. And I'll start out by saying, add my voice to those who believe that he should be charged with murder. Some form of murder. There's a half a dozen different variants of murder. This is obviously not first-degree murder. He didn't plan and plot this. But he should be required to demonstrate that deadly force was being used or was about to be used against him, or he thought that. We know there was no deadly force. The boy had a candy bar in his hand or some sort of food item. It wasn't anything that
I've seen some Skittles,
guy.
According to the reports. He had just been to a convenience store and was walking back. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Here is the constitutional issue. The Constitution of the United States requires every state in the union, as well as the federal government, to apply the laws equally. So if the laws are not being applied equally, if this boy did not get equal protection for some reason, fill in the blank for the reason, then the Florida prosecutors are not doing their jobs, and their judgment may be substituted for with federal prosecutions. They could be prosecuted, the Florida prosecutors, if,
they're
for example, well, if they're not doing their job for an improper reason, like race.
Well, here's what is so mind-boggling. I mean, you look at this case, and basically, you know, the Stand Your Ground statute, which says that if someone attacks you in the state of Florida with deadly force, you can meet that force.
Yes.
Now, when you look at the case, and we just played the 911 call where the dispatcher says to him, we don't need you to do that. In other words, do not follow this person. Then just one second, I just want to build this. You got the girlfriend who claims she spoke with him on the phone and that he conveyed to her that he was frightened about this guy, that he had pulled his hood up on his jacket and she said, run. And he said, according to this report, you know, I'm just going to walk quickly. I just want to get out of here. Then you have two witnesses who say that they saw this whole thing play out. How do you square that?
I don't know how the police square this with their fundamental obligation to enforce the laws equally, but it does not appear as though by any standard here there was an attack by the young man on the guy who shot him. The guy who shot him could have been afraid. Who knows what he was afraid of? But it is clear there was no evidence of an attack, and Florida law, and it's a unique law, the stand your ground law, permits the use of deadly force outside the home only when deadly force is being used on you. There is zero evidence of an attack on the shooter. The police know that, and that's a sound basis, an adequate basis for them to commence a criminal investigation and bring this before a grand jury.
Here's talk host Steve Leader with legal analyst Liz Wheel. They talk about Florida's stand your ground law and if it really applies to the shooting of Trayvon Martin.
What did this young man do to end up with a bullet in his chest?
Oh, boy. Well, the facts are a little bit blurry. By the way, Steve, let me just say right up front, this is one of the saddest cases I've read about and reporting on. There's just no winners in this case. But what we understand, at least, is that he was walking home from a convenience store, and Zimmerman, the shooter, who the neighborhood watch volunteer, thought that Martin, the victim, was up to something. He called 911. 911 said, you know, go get out of your car. Don't do, you know, don't follow him. Well, Zimmerman, the shooter, disobeyed that and went after Martin. We don't know the details of the confrontation. Witnesses have said they heard cries for help, and meanwhile, Martin ends up dead.
Now, we understand the police in suburban Orlando really have not done anything to arrest this person.
Well, that's right, because these things are called the Stand Your Ground Law. They're kind of a different version of the CAFL laws. And what they say, is that the 17 states have them, by the way, 17 states have these Stand Your Ground laws, that you really have no legal obligation to leave a situation if you feel like you are in danger. Kind of an added self-defense. Now, the castle laws really started in your home. You know, your home is your castle. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I think it was even obvious to all of us, if somebody comes into my home, whether they're carrying a gun or not, and they're uninvited, breaks in, if I have to use deadly force to protect myself and my children, I will. And I think most of us would agree that's fine. But the difference here is with these stand your ground laws is that they're outside, they're in a public place. Zimmerman, you know, ostensibly could have walked away. He didn't need to drive after Martin, who, by the way, was only carrying Skittles and Arizona iced tea.
Does it matter that Martin, the victim, was black?
It may. It may certainly play a role in this, especially when the feds get involved and they look at whether it's a hate crime, potentially civil rights violation. What we know is that Zimmerman actually is Hispanic with some black relatives. But he's, you know, he's considered a minority. And according to the 9/11 tapes, Zimmerman, the shooter, said that Martin, the victim, looks black when he was asked. And a few moments later, he said he's a black male. Now, here's what the prosecution would have to do, though. They have to disprove that it was self-defense under these CAFL Stand Your Ground laws. They had to disprove that Zimmerman was not acting in self-defense. They had to say, no, it wasn't self-defense. He got in the car. He went after him. He could not have been feeling any kind of threat to his own life or the people around him because he went after the victim. And then they would have to layer in, I believe, I mean, as a former prosecutor, they'd have to layer in a potential issue of racism. And for that, they're going to have to go back and have to look at Zimmerman, you know, what his past, you know, any statements he's made, any things he's done, that kind of thing.
Here are our hosts, Terry Dozier and Chuck Powell, up next, talking about the outrage that's building in Florida over the shooting of this unarmed teenager.
They're calling for his rearrest, and a grand jury's been convened. They're basically saying, hey, look, you don't shoot a 17-year-old teenager and walk away and go to your home and await further contact by police. He should be in custody. Calls are getting pretty loud.
Yeah, and I think they are justified. This is someone that has worked with the police in the past, as he's made these calls in the past, apparently 46 of them. So he's pretty active as a neighborhood watch
Very
captain.
Very active neighborhood watch guy.
That said, he was an armed man who was in pursuit of somebody he suspected of wrongdoing, although that Trayvon Martin wasn't doing anything more. At the most, he was looking suspicious at a house in the neighborhood, and the shooter, Zimmerman, couldn't figure out what the young man was doing, and so he automatically assumed he was up to no good. He went in pursuit, and the next thing you know, you have a dead 17-year-old and a smoking gun. So there's a lot of unknown in this case. There's no question about it. And we now have another account from a girlfriend who claims that she was on the phone with Trayvon Martin as this stuff was going down. We still don't know if that can be verified. But there seems to be, at the very heart of it, Carrie, a man who was older, bigger, and armed, who claims self-defense against someone who is younger, smaller, and carrying a bag of candy.
Up next on the Countdown, what you're paying for gasoline, it keeps going up. What's the story with the speculators? We'll find out in a moment.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FlowJack hand well pump. The affordable FlowJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FlowJack backup hand pump kit for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FlowJack.com, spelled FlowJack.com. Be sure to spell FlowJack.com or call 855-4-FLOWJACK, 855-4-FLOWJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FlowJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
Do you suffer from low-functioning adrenal or thyroid? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings comes off of your teeth both as a vapor and as particles into your body? Wherever mercury deposits in your body, it stops cells from functioning normally. Animal studies show that mercury causes kidney function to drop by 60%. Mercury deposited into your adrenals or thyroid will cause a corresponding drop in function. The number one method by which your body detoxifies itself of mercury is glutathione. The number one superfood that helps turn on all 10 trillion cells of your body to produce glutathione is non-denatured whey protein from grass-fed cows. After investigating most high-end whey proteins on the market, only one is the most non-denatured, the most active, the most complete, and in our opinion, the most powerful in what nature originally put into the fresh raw whey. It is One World Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Here we are focused on the talk radio, talk television programs that you're watching and listening to. A lot of buzz on Facebook about the rising cost of gasoline. It doesn't seem to have a top yet. Here's host Dave Lee talking to Senator Al Franken of Minnesota about the role of speculators in the skyrocketing price problem.
Looking at the average price of a gallon of gas here in Minnesota this morning, we're at $3.75 today, Senator. Is there anything that can be done about this at all?
Yeah. There is plenty of agreement that speculators are driving up the price. Forbes magazine did a story looking at this, and Forbes estimates that speculators account for about 56 cents extra per gallon. And I want the Commodities Future Trading Commission, or CFTC, to follow the law and set position limits on speculators. The Wall Street reform law mandates that the CFTC do this when there's a period of market disruption. I met with Chairman Gensler of the CFTC and pressed him on this, but he's dragging his feet. So this legislation to force them to set limits on speculators, we've proposed, and I think this will really help Minnesotans at the pump, and it's the right thing to do.
What kind of support are you getting from your colleagues?
I'm getting very good support. There's a number of us who are pressing this. And look, if you look at this right now, we have lower demand than we've had in years. We actually have more production, oil production, in the United States than we've had in years. And if you look at the market, the speculators are have about two-thirds of the positions, and a third are being held by end users. Now, an end user is what it sounds like. It's someone who actually uses oil, actually uses petroleum or fuel. Take an airline, okay? Delta Airlines has to hedge its bets, so they have to buy commodities future and oil for a year or two ahead of time. So in case oil spikes, they've already got a set price, and they can fly people around at a set price. That's legitimate. Speculators are people who are just doing exactly that. They're speculating, and they're gambling, and they are now two-thirds of the market, where normally they're about a third of the market. So this isn't just Forbes. This is the St. Louis Federal Reserve. This is Goldman Sachs. This is the people who look at, for a living, look at oil prices. And they are saying that speculators are driving up the price of about 56 cents per gallon. And that's why I want the CFTC to go in there and set position limits on these speculators.
Here's another host named Mike Trevisano talking to Ohio Governor John Kasich about what Kasich is trying to do in Ohio about the price of gasoline.
You're going to save us taxpayers in Ohio some money?
Well, I mean, Trev, here's the thing. We have this industry coming here, the hydraulic fracturing oil and gas industry, and right now, under the severance taxes they pay, a barrel of oil is taxed at 20 cents. So you can have $105, $107 barrel of oil, and they, under our severance laws, they pay 20 cents. It's ridiculous. And then if they pull these liquids out of the ground, which are a form of oil, they would pay zero. Now, they're all coming in here, and I'm proposing that we modernize this, make it realistic, let them recover their costs, make the severance tax 4%, and take all the money and cut the income tax, because that's what Texas has done. I mean, they have high severance taxes. They export their costs to us, and they have no income tax. Oklahoma does the same thing. You know, we want to constantly work to lower our income taxes, because that's what sends an important message to businesses. So they pay a little bit more, less than virtually every state in the country, and we all benefit. And if these discoveries are what we think they could be, billions and billions of dollars, Ohio will get, you know, every family will benefit and every small business will benefit. Your kid will benefit over at that restaurant.
So basically,
that's what we ought to do.
Basically, what you're saying, Governor, then the state tax could be lowered a couple percent, so everybody that's paid.
It depends on how much would come in from this oil and gas. If it's very rich, yes, we could see, you know, tax breaks. As to what the level of them is going to be, I'm not sure. But we want to dedicate every one of all the dollars that we would use to modernize that severance tax to reduce everybody's income tax in the state.
Yeah, like Florida doesn't have a state tax. Could something like this eventually, best-case scenario, eliminate tax?
You know, I've talked about trying to phase it out. It would take a long period of time. But what I do know is every time we go at lowering that tax, it helps us.
Find out more about the items that we have focused on here. A lot of information at DougStephan.com. Bed Field.